we're good. Go to Acts chapter 10, if you would. I got everything. I got the code. I just got some things. I want to talk to you tonight about peace. Because there's one thing that people need in their lives is peace. Acts chapter 10 follows the appearance of an angel to a man named Cornelius, who the angel instructed to go and get a hold of the apostle Peter, and he would be able to help him in his quest. And when you get to verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood beside me in bright clothing. So you see that sometimes angels manifest themselves as men. Not all the time, but sometimes. And this man who stood beside me in bright clothing said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God, so on and so forth. Verse 36 says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. The word peace, according to Strong's Concordance, means tranquility or harmony. It's also defined as security or safety, prosperity. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. That's what Strong says in one of his definitions. The tranquil state of a soul that is assured of his salvation through Christ. In other words, He's convinced. He knows that he knows that he knows. And that gives him peace to know that he has everlasting life and that he has a hope. Peace is calm. Peace is quiet. It's stillness. One definition I read says, peace is a ceasefire. People are fighting, or nations are fighting. Peace, when peace comes, it's a ceasefire. The world is looking for peace, but it's looking for peace in all the wrong places. People look for peace by drugs. They look to other people for peace. They look to governments for peace, for negotiations. They look to deals or policies. All of these things they look so that they can just have peace. What I'd like to show you tonight is something you probably are already aware of, but it's remarkable and it's worth reviewing once again. Because peace is such a big deal that God reminds us of this in every church epistle. So if you go to Romans chapter 1, which is the first church epistle given to the church in chronological order where it's placed, we know that Thessalonians was given but placed last. But Romans chapter 1 in verse 7, in the beginning chapter, says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to begin to see here this one phrase that's used, and you're going to see that it's repeated over and over again. And that is, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first occurrence of this, you see, two are involved. It's God, our Father, and in addition to God, our Father, it says, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. If God says something in His Word once, it's an important thing. Should He repeat it, it gets established and confirmed down the line, so forth and so on. But if God repeats something over and over and over again, He wants to get your attention. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, it says, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord, who? Jesus Christ. Once again, you see it's God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. This is how God chooses to open His epistles written to the church, written to you and I. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 2, grace be to you, and what? Peace. From God our Father, and from the Lord, who? Jesus Christ. Okay, Corinthians, Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Just going in order through the church epistles. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why it says from our Lord Jesus Christ instead of the Lord Jesus Christ is because some of the earlier manuscripts tend to use the word our. Same truth. Different translations translate the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Galatians, Ephesians, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 1, please. You begin to see the pattern? Okay. Philippians 1 verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there's always two involved. It's God our Father and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said that grace and peace is unto the people from, and it comes from, God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians, Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and what? Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus what? There's your seven church epistles. But there's always a distinction made. And there are two involved in this grace and peace. It's always God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in opening each one of those epistles. Now, that's something you may have learned in the past or you may not have known. Now I'd like to show you something that perhaps will be new to you. It's always God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. In the records we've read. So my question I ask myself is, why is it God the Father that this peace comes from? And why is it the Lord Jesus Christ that this peace comes from? So in order to answer that, we're going to look at God first. Okay? And in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. And in verse 33... it says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. God is called a God of peace. He's a God of peace. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. And the God of what? Peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of what? He's peace. He's the God of peace. He's the author of peace. You see? So we see that God's very nature is peace. And His will for His children is for His children to dwell in peace. That's God's will for us. His will is for us to dwell in peace. So we have the author. We have the supplier. We have the originator, which is God. Now, as you look in the verse, it says, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's agent to accomplish this transition from God's peace, giving it to us. Look at Romans chapter 5. See, God was able to impart his peace to us by way of Jesus Christ. Now, in the past, God was able to impart peace to people, to his beloved, by way of ministries, by way of the prophet, by way of the king. You understand? God's word would come to the prophet would speak, God's word would come to the king would speak, the king would act, and they would have peace. They would many times have physical peace, where they would not be at war. They would be at peace for many, many years. But God had to impart that peace through an individual. The individual in the Old Testament was a prophet, or a seer, or it was a king. It was someone who was anointed with the Spirit of God that could impart that peace, impart God's will to those people. And not everybody had the Spirit of God. Verse 1 of chapter 5. And therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord, who?
Jesus Christ.
You see? Jesus Christ now was God's prophet, God's agent, God's man to impart peace to us. Now see, there's a difference though. The peace that was imparted in the Old Testament was temporal. And it fluctuated. And you know that by the state of Israel and how many times they were at war and how many times they blew it. Just read the book of Judges and see how many times the word again appears. And the children of Israel sinned again. And the children of Israel sinned again. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord again and again and again. You see? But it says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Jesus Christ was God's means of imparting this peace unto us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, please. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, and that's all of us here, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having how much hope?
No.
Zero. No hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our what?
Peace.
Our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of two, one new man, so making what?
Peace.
And that he might reconcile both unto God, the Jew and the Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached what? Peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him, through who? Jesus Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the what?
Father.
Unto the Father. You see, we were made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. I know about the peace offering, but that brought peace to us. Okay? And it says, through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, it says we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What Spirit is that talking about? Holy Spirit. When do you get the Holy Spirit? When do you get born again? At the new birth, at the time of the new birth of your life. You get the Holy Spirit. That Spirit gives you access unto the Father. Did you know that you have a right to live your life in peace? The Bible teaches this. You have a right to live your life in peace. You have a God-given right to enjoy the peace of God in your life. Your peace, according to what we read in Ephesians, was purchased for you by the blood of Christ. Your peace was purchased by the blood of Christ. God's peace is your legal sonship right, because it's tied to the new birth, the Holy Spirit. It was purchased by the blood of Christ. God's peace is your legal sonship right. If you can lose your peace, you can lose your salvation, because they come from the same Spirit. Now, does anybody here ever think about losing their salvation? Does anybody here think about losing their peace, though? You see? Because if you can lose your peace is so permanent, in other words, your peace is so absolutely legally legal and purchased by the blood of Christ, that if you can lose your peace, then you can lose your salvation. And yet not a one of you would question your salvation or your eternal life. My point is, just the way you feel about that, you should never, ever question your peace. Never. Because they're tied to the same Spirit. It's a legal sonship right. See, you've learned some of your sonship rights, but you haven't learned all of them. Anything that comes in the new birth is yours legally. If you can lose your righteousness, then you can lose your peace. Can you lose your righteousness? Because your righteousness depended on what you did, or depended on what who did?
Jesus
did. Well, your peace was purchased by the blood of Christ. I just read it to you. So does your peace depend on what you do or did, or on what Jesus Christ accomplished? See? The point is, you can't lose your peace legally. You can't. Because if you can lose your righteousness, you can lose your sanctification, you can lose your justification, you can lose your redemption, you can lose a whole bunch of stuff. But you can't. Why? Because we have access by that Spirit, and that Spirit indicates birth. It's a seed. And so that Spirit of God that indwells every born-again believer gives you a legal right to live in peace. Now you got to ask yourself a question. If you have a legal right to live in peace, why aren't some of us living in peace? See, this is how permanent your peace is. Peace is like eternal life. And that's why peace is an inside job. Because the Spirit indwells you and it doesn't come out. You're born again of incorruptible seed. That means you have incorruptible peace. You have incorruptible righteousness. You have incorruptible sanctification. You have incorruptible justification. You have incorruptible so forth and so on. It's not a corruptible seed. You understand? Your peace, like your righteousness, was purchased on the cross and paid for by the blood of Christ. Thus, every Christian has the God-given right to live in God's peace. Then why do many Christians live in anxiety, stress and worry. See? Why do many Christians live in fear? And for many of them that live in anxiety, that live in fear, they would never question their eternal life when the problems of the world arise. Yet why do they question or lose their peace when the problems of the world arise? See, if you're going to be consistent, be consistent. If you're going to be a house of cards and just crumble all the way through. But they never think that way. Both are given by God's grace through faith and legally purchased by the blood of Christ on the cross. Whether it's both regarding righteousness and peace, or salvation and peace, or sanctification or peace, they're both given by God's grace through faith and purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross. You can't lose it. You can't lose it. It's permanent. It's seed. One spirit. Access to God. One spirit. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal your peace, kill and destroy. But in what I'm teaching you is that he comes to steal. See? Now, can he legally steal your peace? See? Because if you tell me that, I'm going to tell you he can legally steal your salvation. And nobody going to take on that one, are you? Nah. So can he legally steal your peace? No. Because your peace was purchased by the blood of Christ on the cross, given to you in the Spirit of God that indwells you, which is permanent, which makes it a sonship right. It's a permanent part of you. Peace has been defined as undisturbed believing, when things are just going along okay. Look at Romans chapter 15. You see, you are righteous now. A little study written many years ago. Great study. But sometimes you run across people who don't feel righteous. Sometimes you run across people who don't act righteous. Sometimes you run across people who have a bad opinion about themselves and others. They condemn themselves. They always talk doubt. They always talk worry. They always talk fear. Everything out of their mouth is negative. That's not righteous speaking. That's not righteous talking. They beat themselves up. They live lower than what the Word of God says. But yet, are they righteous? Yes. If they're born again, they are. And whose righteousness do they have? Christ. Can you get any more righteous than that? Right? But if to look at people sometimes, and the way people act sometimes, they don't act righteous. It's the same with peace. Peace is legally bought for and provided to you on the merits of Jesus Christ. Had nothing to do with you. You got it when you got born again. Look, it's like a new car. When you get the title to the new car is yours. Okay? Now, everything that that new car represents is yours. Now, if you don't use the air conditioner, that's your problem. It's got an air conditioner. If you don't use the heater, that's your problem. If you want to put it in neutral and push the car instead of starting it, that's your problem. Don't blame God. It's the same with peace. Peace comes in the Holy Spirit. It's a sonship right. Righteousness comes by way of the Holy Spirit. It's part of that package. Now, it's yours legally. Now, as a child of God, it's your job and it's my job as a teacher to instruct you what you have so that you can choose to use it or not. And I'm telling you tonight that peace is a legal sonship right. It comes by way of the new birth. And it's yours, and it's been paid for. Romans 15, though, verse 13, gives more light on this subject. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what?
Believing
that you may abound in hope," etc., etc. Let me read to you what it says in the New Living of the same verse. "I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in Him, that you may overflow," so forth and so on. As you believe in Him. You understand? Romans 15, 13. So now, it's a matter of understanding what you have from the Father and then believing what you have from the Father. And not believing this here. This is good, but if you don't get it down to the walk, you will not experience peace in your life. You'll have it, just like you'll have speaking in tongues, just like you'll have prophecy, just like you'll have righteousness, just like you'll be sanctified, but you will not experience it just knowing about it. It's believing it to the point that you act. It's hearing to the point that you act. Like those Gentiles when Peter came. Those that heard the word of God manifest it. Everybody heard the word of God. It doesn't mean that. It means heard it to the point it gelled in them. They believed and they acted. The God of hope filled you with all joy and peace in believing. You have to believe what the word says about you. And then you have to act like you believe what the word says about you. You have to walk out on it. And that's the hardest thing to do sometimes. The Bible says we walk by believing. We walk by faith. Not by what?
Sight.
Not by sight. See, sight will talk you out of the word of God. Sight will talk you out of your peace. The devil will steal your peace. He will rob your peace. And when you begin to feel uneasy about a situation, I'm going to tell you something. That's a real good indication that you're going down the wrong road. Or that you need to be alert that there's an attack coming. That someone's trying to rob your peace from you. And your antennas are going off. Okay? When you are uneasy, remember I taught you the other week about beginning to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you? When you start to get uneasy about something, when your peace begins to be disturbed, because the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace is supposed to rule in your hearts, not confusion. That's an indication that there's something wrong or something that's going wrong or something's not right. And if you continue to live in a state of unrest and you continue to live in a state of confusion, anxiety, and unpeacefulness, there's something wrong. Someone or something is trying to upset the balance of peace in your life from God. See, these are indicators. You know, like your little warning light in your car, it says check engine. Or your little red light that says check tire pressure or whatever. This is an indicator. But like some of us in our cars, we drive around with our check engine lights on from when we bought the car to when we sell the car. And some of us that are real ingenious, you know, we get pictures of our kids and our grandkids and we put the picture over the light. Aha. I haven't looked in anybody's car here, swear. But these are the things we do. Instead of addressing something, the engine trying to tell, hey, I would check this if I were, you know, we just put a picture over it. She's cute, isn't she? And then we poke our head in the door. Oh, look at my little, isn't she cute? Well, what's behind that picture? That's what I always say. What are you covering up? But see, we have to learn how God communicates to us. And one of the ways that God indicates to us you got a check person light going off is when your peace is being disturbed. So instead of ignoring it and putting a scripture over it, oh, isn't that nice? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Red light, see that? Don't do that. See, God gives us all these little clues. He gives us all these little hints. And you know what we do? We just walk by and say, oh, that's nice. You have to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God inside of you. You have to learn that when you're starting to get uneasy and unpeaceful about a situation, chances are that God is not the author of confusion, but of what? So if you got some unrest going on here, maybe it's not coming from God. It's something you need to deal with. We just get talked out of our sonship rights. That's the bottom line. We get talked out of our sonship rights when we believe the devil via the problems that he throws at us. So you will never see the devil, okay? What you will see is the bank statement. You understand? See, I brought it for a reason. You will see the bank statement, and that's designed to take your peace away, to upset you, to get you full of anxiety, especially when it takes over a month to get your money back. Right? That's the stuff he'll throw at you. He'll throw the car, he'll throw the house, he'll throw this, he'll throw whatever. And it's all designed to rob you of your peace. To rob you of your peace. Don't let him do that. Remember that God gave you peace and Jesus Christ paid the price for it. Peace is a sonship right, and don't let the devil tell you anything different. Now, how can we walk in peace? How can we manifest? How can we apply these things that we're talking about? Look at John chapter 14. One of the first things that you have to understand about peace is that you're never alone, and that the Lord has given you his peace to help you through this life. John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be," what?
Afraid.
What kind of peace did this guy have that he was able to go to the garden and still keep it together and pray? What kind of peace did this guy have that he was able to be tortured and beat and crucified and still keep it together and still reach out and say, "This day I say unto thee, thou shalt be with me in paradise"? What kind of peace did he have when his parents turned against him, when his brothers turned against him, when his sisters turned against him? What kind of peace did he have when his eyes met Peter and the cock crew? And he says, "My peace I give unto you." Now, I want to tell you something. That's conquering peace. That's victorious peace. That's peace that no matter what situations you face, you can still live in the peace of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Another key to walking in peace, manifesting the peace of God, is to learn to go to God quickly with your cares. Learn to go to God quickly with your cares. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth" what? The longer you hold on to these things, the longer they'll eat away at your peace. Because listen, by you holding on to them, it's telling the problem, we're telling the adversary, that you're going to deal with it. Okay? Sometimes you can deal with it, and sometimes you can't. But even if you can deal with it, if you don't acknowledge God, you're starting out on the wrong foot. And sometimes casting your care is praying. Sometimes casting your care is saying, "There's no way in the world that I can do this. You're going to have to walk get this one for me, Lord. I'll get the next one. It depends on the situation. But learn to do it quickly. Don't fret yourself. Don't worry yourself down. Don't sit there and spend countless hours and days and weeks in anxiety, saying, what about this and what about that? And especially if you got a pessimistic mind and you're always ready for things to go wrong. Okay? And you know what's worse than that? If you justify your pessimistic mind by saying, oh, I'm just being careful, or I'm just being prepared, or I'm just being alert. It's okay to be prepared, and it's okay to be alert, and it's okay to look out and consider all the options. Okay? But if that's where your mind and your heart and your trust is, and you've been trained that way, you need to let that kind of crap go, because you'll never let God in your life. Because you know what you've just did? You've just formulated your way into every answer of life. And I got news for you. You can't formula your way into every answer of life. See? I don't care what you know and what you've been trained in. There are situations that you come across in life that if God's not there and the Spirit of God's not moving inside of you, you're just going to get beat up. So don't do that. Go to God. Cast your cares upon Him and do it quickly. Don't sit there in anxiety and suffer and torture. Give it to God. Look at Psalm 55, please. A few more and we'll close. But it's important because every one of us gets challenged by the adversary with our peace. And once our peace is gone, see, it says, let the peace of God rule. Okay? The word rule, I believe, means to umpire. Okay? That's what that word rule means. It means to umpire in your heart. You know what an umpire does? An umpire keeps order in the game. Okay? An umpire says safe or out, right? I guess if it's baseball, he does. That's what an umpire does. An umpire calls a foul when he sees one, and he calls a touchdown when he sees one, right? That's what peace will do for you. Peace will say safe or out. Peace will say foul or touchdown. Peace will keep order in your life. Let the peace of God. So if I know this, if I'm the devil and I know that scripture says that, and I want to get you off balance, I want to get you out of order, I want to get you confused to what is right and what is wrong, you know what I'm going to attack? Your peace. I'm going to disrupt your peace so that I can mess you up. Don't let them do that. Cast your cares upon God. Do it quickly. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. You see it? Who's going to sustain you? God will. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Look at Psalm 34. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their what? Okay, so God's looking at you, and God's ears are open to their cry. The problem is, you know what we do? We complain, we don't cry. Right? Sure, it's right. We like to complain. We don't like to cry unto God. We want to go around all around town and complain about it, or complain to ourselves, or complain to our neighbor, but instead of crying unto the Lord. Look at Psalm 62. The New International reads of verse 8, trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 27. And again, this is where a lot of us blow it. We go down the path, we do all these things, and we fail to do this. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on what?
The Lord.
That's it. Be patient. Cry unto the Lord. Plead your cause unto Him. Trust Him. And then wait. Be patient. And He'll strengthen your heart. Look at Psalm 40. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my what? He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and He established my what? He heard them. He heard them. He might have been close, but he wasn't late. And God answered. And God delivered David. You see, God is a God of peace. He's a God of peace. And Jesus Christ paid for our peace. Jesus Christ was God's way of imparting to us on a permanent basis His peace. Peace is every Christian's legal sonship right. And your peace is as permanent as your salvation, legally, spiritually speaking. It's all wrapped up in the gift of Holy Spirit. So don't let the devil steal your peace. And the way he steals your peace is by what he throws at you and by what he convinces you up here in your noggin. See? Peace is manifested by believing and trusting in God's promises. See, you got it on the inside. Just like the car. When you get in the car doesn't start itself. The radio doesn't go on. The horn doesn't honk. The air conditioner doesn't go on. The rear defogger doesn't go on. You got all those things, but in order to manifest it, in order to bring those into fruition, you got to push some buttons. You got to take some action. Same with peace. You have it on the inside. You have righteousness on the inside. You have justification on the inside. You have God's love on the inside. How about that big giant one? Now, how are you going to walk? Are you going to walk in God's love? Do you know that God's love is part of your sonship rights? You have the right to love and live in the love of God. Because God's love came in you when you got the Spirit of God. Now, if you can understand that, then you can understand that just because you have it doesn't mean that you walk all the time in God's love. And if you can understand that, you can understand just because you have peace doesn't mean that you will walk all the time in God's peace. But it's the same great principle that activates both. And that's up here. Believing and trusting God and then acting accordingly. Bible says, just don't be a hearer of the word, be a what? A doer. And as you do the word, you'll manifest the love of God. You'll manifest the righteousness of God. You'll manifest the peace of God. And who doesn't want peace? Who wants to go home and worry themselves to sleep tonight? Right? Who wants to go home and I can't sleep because... Everybody wants peace. But like I said earlier, everybody's going to the wrong place for it. You already got it. You got it? You got a pre-scripture of peace. It came when the Holy Spirit came. You have it. Remember that you're never alone. That Jesus gave you His peace. Remember that when you have cares, we cast those cares, how? Quickly upon God. Don't hold on to them. Don't let them marinate. It's not marinate. You know what happens when you put vegetables outside in a trash can that's 95 degrees for 3 days? Yeah. They start to ferment, right? Yeah. Rot. That's what happens when you hold on to stuff. Don't do it. Give it to God. Remember that God's ear is always open to your cry. He's open to your complaints too, but He's going to tell you, okay, you're on your pity pot, now it's time to flush and get off. I heard it, right? And cast your burden upon Him. And learn to wait patiently for Him. Because He'll give you the answer. You know, he never stopped into church epistles. 1 Timothy 1:2 says, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:2 said, grace, peace, mercy from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, or Titus 1:4 says, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon 1:3, grace to you, peace, God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, so on and so forth. It's found all throughout the Scriptures. So if he's given us these things, if he's purchased these things, if they're legally ours, don't let somebody take it from you, okay? Don't. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you have given us. And thank you that we can just love you and endeavor not to try and figure everything out in life, but lean more towards you and trust you and let you help us figure it out. I thank you for each person here, and I pray, Father, for them tonight, that you would just comfort them and that your peace right now could just settle upon them from the crowns of their head to the soles of their feet, and that if they got anything on their heart that's disturbing that peace, that they can cast it quickly upon you, knowing that you'll care for them. For your ears are always open to the righteous. And once they do, Father, I pray that they would have patience to wait upon you to see your deliverance in their lives. I thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, your grace. And tonight, I thank you especially for your peace. Through the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.